Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Sepa Conference Call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic, the process of creation. So we are very fortunate to have Prabhuji on the call. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat. And I would like to really thank all the devotees and my obeisances to everyone for giving me an opportunity to speak on this topic. And this topic really came about because I was working on my book. As you know, we released one book. Now, me and Sundari have become full-time book writers. So we released one book, Food for the Soul, and I was writing a book on the mind, to put everything in a pictorial way. Then this came out to be the most interesting part, because if we understand this, how creation works, how creation comes together, we will understand also the process of withdrawal. And this chapter is fundamental to understanding devotional service. So before we begin, I will chant the prayers to the spiritual masters and then we will start. I have also started the YouTube live, if anybody would like to join as well. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Thapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam
Shri Rupam Sakrajatam
Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangira Devi Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalvadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Bhavanibhyo Vishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So Hare Krishna So So this chapter from the Srimad Bhagavatam, so Canto 3, and the chapter number is 26, it is explained as fundamental principles of material nature. Now the fundamental principles of material nature, now why is it named that way? If you understand how nature works. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that Yantra Rudhani Mayaya, that this body is like a machine. So, this Yantra, this machine, this body, this mind, this has certain properties. So material nature has certain properties. Now, why is this important? If I know the nature of the mind, it is the nature. So that is why it says attachment, material attachment, one should detach, because that is the nature to get attached. In the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali also explains very beautifully, Sukha Anushayi Ragaha, the more one enjoys material nature, he gets attached to the Sukha. He gets attached to the Sukha. So it creates a samskara in the mind. Dukha Anushayi Dveshaha. So similarly, when somebody experiences pain, then he develops hatred or he develops aversion to something. In this way, everything, every action, there is a certain nature, there is a certain reaction. So this is what we call laws of physics, Newton's law of motion. Now when we study this, we understand when something goes or something happens in a certain way, we are not bewildered. So bewilderment means we are unable to understand why is something happening. But if we understand the principles of material nature, this is also very critical. When Arjuna asks Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, so what was his question? Why does somebody commit sin? Papa, why does somebody commit sin even though he does not want? Why does somebody commit sin? So the answer is given by Krishna. Kama yesha, krodha yesha, rajo gunat samudbhavaha, mahashano mahapapma vidyenam mahavairinam. So what is the answer? Kama yesha, krodha yesha, rajo gunat samudbhavaha. So this kama, this lust, krodha, this anger, is because of rajoguna. So this guna, so this material nature is the play of the three gunas. That's all. It is a smoke screen reality with the play of the three gunas. And just like when somebody eats too much ice cream and he gets cold, immediately you drink hot water. You know, hot water counters cold. Why? That is nature. So fundamental principles of nature, we go back to the fundamentals of why we are like this, why and what we are experiencing in our life. And why are we like this? How do we change our nature? And this answer is explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And now I will, if you remember this answer, now when I explain the creation, you will understand the answer is already there. So what is the answer? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We always say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What does it mean? Om Namo, I offer my obeisances unto Bhagavate, unto Bhagavan, Vasudevaya. So Vasudevaya means two things here. One, Vasudeva is Krishna's father. So directly to denote that this is son of Vasudev, that is the Krishna we are talking about. But the second Vasudeva is the state of mind, Shuddha Sattva. other day some forget some Mataji had asked in the mid morning class, is Shuddha Sattva pure Sattva Guna or is it beyond the three gunas? No. That is what we will study here. The Shuddha Sattva means pure Sattva Guna. So when you come to the state of pure goodness, when you come to the mode of pure goodness, you will be able to realize Krishna right within your heart. Right within your heart. Then and there. Then and there. Immediately. Without any delay. When you come to the mode of pure goodness. So that is why Srila Prabhupada was insisting on Varnashrama Dharma, because the importance of Sattva Guna cannot be stressed enough. The process of yoga, the process of Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, all these yogas are to elevate the soul gradually to the mode of Sattva Guna. Even the scriptures are divided into tamasic, rajasic and sattvic. Because some beings are perpetually in the mode of ignorance. It's very difficult to come out of the mode of ignorance. So they have to be elevated to the mode of goodness. But then to the mode of pure goodness. And when we elevate ourselves to the mode of pure goodness, that is when tamo and rajoguna, when they are finished, the mind becomes a transparent medium. There are two people sitting in your heart. You and your best friend, Paramatma, is sitting there. And he is saying, I am speaking to him, he is not listening. I am speaking to the jiva, he is not listening. What is listening to? He is listening to the desires of his mind impelled by rajo and tamo guna. But when this mind becomes a transparent medium, the pure, so when this mind attains a state of pure sattva guna, that is when he takes darshan. Now Paramatma within the heart, he says, in the Bhagavad Gita, it beautifully says that Jitatmanah Prashantasya Paramatma Samahitah Jitatmanah Prashantasya. When is the mind Prashanta? Not in Rajoguna or Tamoguna, simply in Sattva Guna. Even amidst the greatest difficulty, if the soul is still in Sattva Guna, he sees the hand of God. In the mode of Rajoguna, he sees only difficulty. In the mode of Tamoguna, he becomes an enemy of God. Literally, the gunas inspire within you certain characteristics. So what is our freedom? To come to a certain guna. To come to a certain guna. To elevate ourselves to Shuddha Sattva. So if you understand the fundamental principles of nature, then we have to cut down. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna promises you, if you come to Sattva Guna, what happens? Yukta Hara Viharasya Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu Yukta Swapna Avabodasya Yogo Bhavati Dukkha. Dukkha, all your pains will be gone, free. Yogo bhavati dukkha, guaranteed, yoga will kill all your pains. That is also stated in the Yoga Sutra, Eyam Dukkham Anagatam. One with the perfect knowledge of nature, one with the perfect knowledge of Sattva Guna, will never suffer in the future, because activities which are inspired by the mode of goodness, you will never abuse anyone, you will never speak ill, you will always be peaceful, you will be doing activities only for the benefit of the soul, you will be listening to Paramatma's dictation, your level of intuition, depth and level of understanding to listen to your own heart. When even Patanjali says that to calm the mind and follow higher intelligence. And what is this higher intelligence? And this is what we will look in the process of creation. If you see, it is such an interesting topic. If I realize this is the first topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, creation, fundamental creation. If we do not understand fundamental creation, then we are always bewildered by why Indra did this, and why Brahma did this, and why he did this, and that did this. Very interestingly, when I was listening to Brahma, if you see Brahma in the mode of Rajoguna, right? He creates in the mode of Rajoguna. Interestingly, he gets attracted to his own daughter. But more interesting than that is when Brahma is attracted to his own daughter. Why? Impelled by Rajoguna. He gets attracted. But then what does Brahma do? That is even more interesting. Brahma gives up his body. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Brahma gives up his body. I was surprised. Our Brahma gave up his body, but still he is there. What do you mean he gave up his body? He gave up his mentality. He gave up the mentality, he gave up that desire, that frame of mind by which he got attracted to Saraswati. So, we have the similar opportunity, our mind has a certain formation. It has all Purva Samskaras. What is that Purva Samskara? From, if you must have heard Hariparshad Prabhu's lectures on this conference itself a few days ago, he said, we are Uchishta, we are leftovers of Satya, Treta, Dwapara. All leftovers are now in Kali Yuga. And we don't know how many births we have taken in Kali Yuga also. So the sum total of all our experiences, frustrations, anger, desires, all that culmination from all the previous births is existing right now. And television and smartphones are only, so all these desires are always coming to the fore, and the mode of Rajoguna, there is an unlimited push to fulfill these desires, and they are simply pushing you like a moth pushing itself into fire. It will be killed. And same is what Rajoguna and Tamoguna do to the soul. Simply into, it's like an airline crash, straight taking you to the mouth of death. The only thing that can, because we see suddenly people beat each other up, suddenly people are upset, suddenly people are, it's all the way they take things or do things. Sometimes you never know what you speak, how it affects somebody else. So this is all the play. If you see in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada made that beautiful picture of three people are standing and the three gunas are like string tied to them. So once the Rajoguna becomes strong, the string becomes very tight on you. So similarly, Tamoguna, it becomes very tight on you. Our only option is to come to the mode of Sattva Guna. And that is the challenge. How to come to the mode of goodness and not conditioned by it, yet progress to the transcendental level. So that is why, even if it is prasadam, if you eat chili pakoras, your stomach still gets burnt, even if it is prasadam. Radha Govind Maharaj told me personally that don't eat too much, don't eat paneer, because that is poison. For example, he said that is complete rajoguna, tamoguna. Because when you make paneer, you add salt to milk. And Radha Govind Maharaj said, I never ate paneer in my life. It is only to attract new people because they like meat. So this is almost equivalent to that. It is to only attract such souls, not for regular eating, because it is Rajo and Tamo Guna. It will actually impede your devotional service. So one should eat, one should eat, one should sleep, one should live in the mode of goodness. Alright, so this is the fundamental background. So fundamental principle, fundamental background. So if we understand knowledge, so if you read the verses, I had shared one picture in the WhatsApp group. And if you You can refer to that picture as I'm speaking. It took me quite a while to draw that, actually a few days to actually understand, realize and draw that picture. So in the second verse, he explains, knowledge is the ultimate perfection of self-realization. I shall explain that knowledge unto you by which the knots of attachment to the material world are cut. So what is the goal here? To cut the attachment to the material world. So basically the inference, my inference after reading this whole chapter was how Shuddha Sattva, so the fundamental creation, the Sattva Guna is the first that is manifest. As we go on, we will see. So the moment you come to the mode of goodness, you are immediately released. You are immediately released from the suffering, literally the suffering of the unlimited desires of Rajo and Tamoguna. So desire can also be because of hatred towards somebody. So unlimited longing and desire is gone. Sattvaguna only produces those desires by which, remember, Sattvaguna means, what is the role of Lord Vishnu? Sattvaguna means maintenance. Rajoguna means expansion, never ends. I will buy $1 million home, I will buy $1 trillion home, I will do this, and never ends. But in the end, you do everything and still no satisfaction. And that is the nature of Rajoguna, no satisfaction, unlimitedly keep going on. But when you come to Sattvaguna, you say, stop. What I have is enough. So it is only nature. Somebody may be billionaire, he's still not happy. Somebody may be penniless, just enough to maintain his family. He is the happiest man in the world. So what is more important? So that is what is explained. So this nature, so sometimes you see, we always desire, oh, I should have been the richest man in the world. And if I get these millions of dollars, then I will do big preaching. Somebody was sharing on Facebook that in Las Vegas, of course I'm in the city of Las Vegas, somebody won a $72 million jackpot in one of the casinos. And one of my friends shared on Facebook, hey, oh God, if I would have got these millions, I would be doing so much good to the world. So to good to the world is not by millions. To do good to the world, you have to be self-realized. That is more valuable. Find me one self-realized soul that millions is insignificant in front of that. Self-realization is so valuable. Coming to Sattvaguna is so valuable, so powerful, millions of times, millions and millions and millions of times. Those who have seen money, those who have seen enjoyment, who was that? The great comedy actor, I forget his name, and he said, people should become so rich that they should be able to experience all the material enjoyment, and then they will come to the conclusion that, okay, this is not worth it. Although we desire, we should have, Prabhupada says, we should have enough to keep our body and soul together. But when we engage so much, so this can only be realized when our focus is internal, when we reach the mode of goodness, when our focus is internal on the soul, when you are continuously, so the goal of my 2 days, today and tomorrow, is to focus on the importance of Sattva Guna, number one. Number two, my focus is to push home the importance of being continuously meditative on Paramatma within the heart. And the more you remember, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Suhrudam sarva bhoktaram yajnatavasam sarva loka maheshwaram suru suhrudam sarva bhutanam jnatva mam shanti rachayate suhrudam. The closest to our heart, he is there within our heart. Sarva bhutanam dhatva mam shanti rachyati. If you want peace, then understand I am the well-wisher in everybody's hearts. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Soul and He has no beginning. He is transcendental to the material modes of nature beyond the existence of this material world. He is perceivable everywhere because he is self-effulgent and his self-effulgent luster and the entire creation is maintained. So, as his pastime, that supreme personality of Godhead, the greatest of the great, accepted the subtle material energy which is invested with three modes of nature and which is related with Vishnu. So in this way, he explains that because of his forgetfulness, the transcendental living entity accepts the influence of material energy as his field of activities, and thus actuated, he wrongly applies the activities to himself. Material consciousness. So what is this material consciousness? So in the seventh verse it explains, material consciousness is the cause of one's conditional life in which conditions are enforced upon the living entity by material energy. So the more you, deeper you go into Rajo and Tamoguna, the more material nature dictates its nature on you. It becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. Then you go deeper and deeper into this politics, this ism, that ism, altruism, like Srila Prabhupada. Until and unless you come out of Rajoguna, until and unless you situate yourself in Sattvaguna, sometimes whatever you see in this world, that something is going on and this is important right now, becomes so much sense because that is all we can perceive, comprehend and deal with and inspire people only to that level. You can only inspire people to the level you are inspired. Even if you have the right knowledge but you are in tamoguna, then you are not able to inspire anyone. We ourselves are unempowered because of being in the mode of Rajo and Tamoguna, full of desires, unable to motivate or unable to take direct dictation from Paramatma. How can you, how can us, we can only have a limited influence. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America or he went all over the world, he could deal with every person, white, black, blue, red, green, whoever he was, from Asian, American, Hispanic, this, that, he could deal with anybody because he spoke straight to the soul. Are we on that platform where we are dealing with Shuddha Sattva, speaking directly to the soul? We are very much conditioned where we are applying or we are able to communicate at a certain platform and we are comfortable with it. So bhakti or higher level of adventure begins when you are able to go beyond your comfort zone. So Gaur Gopal Prabhu is saying this, very beautiful point. So the cause of soul's body and senses, the senses presiding deities, the demigods, is the material nature. The feeling of happiness and distress of the soul, who is transcendental by nature, is caused by spirit himself. So now Devahuti asks this question, okay? So what is her question? So now begins the process of creation. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, kindly explain the characteristics of the Supreme Person and his energies, for both these are the cause of this manifest and unmanifest creation. So now Kapila Dev replies. Okay, now listen. So there are two words explained in this first verse. The unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes of nature is the cause of manifest state. So the unmanifested eternal combination, so in the unmanifest state where the three modes are combined together, not yet separated, they are combined together, that state is called Virginia. No, that state is called Pradhana. So that state is called Pradhana. It is called Prakriti when in the manifested stage of existence. So first is pradhana. So prakriti in unmanifested state is pradhana. So material nature, unmanifested, where the three modes are already present. So what does this pradhana consist of? The aggregate elements, the five gross elements, five subtle elements. What are the five gross elements? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Five subtle elements, smell, taste, color, touch, sound. They are already present. The four internal senses. I was very amazed because we always talk about mind, intelligence, ego. But the fourth one is contaminated consciousness. So our nature is, because what we are experiencing now is a reflected consciousness, not our true consciousness. That is why Srila Prabhupada used the term Krishna consciousness, means he is your real consciousness. So, material consciousness is experienced basically in Rajo and Tamoguna very strongly. But when you come to Sattvaguna, that's why Prabhupada was explaining, Sattvaguna becomes very favorable. Because in Rajoguna, the mind is continuously attracted towards material desires, which never end. So, and then the five senses for gathering knowledge and the they are the ears, eyes, nostrils, skin and tongue by which we gather knowledge, and the senses of action, hands, legs, mouth, and the anus, genitals. So these are all, so what is all this? They are together present in the subtle state in pradhana. So they are present in pradhana. So pradhana, the unmanifested state, the three modes. So within the subtle three modes, all these things are present. So what happens is, as the guna, so these senses that are present, they acquire the guna. And when sattva-guna becomes dominant in this pradhana, like in our manifestation. So our body right now is in the prakriti stage. It is manifested. And when some guna becomes dominant, all the elements from the mind, because body is an extension of the mind, the mind has the shape, the subtle shape of the body, because it thinks that way. But in your dream, your shape is different. You think of yourself as a police officer, or when you are daydreaming, you think of becoming a CEO of some company. So the shape of the mind changes. When you watch a movie, then you take on that shape. So every shape there, every turnaround gives rise to a certain form of vritti, certain form of desire, certain form of mental activity. So all these shapes are putting an impression. And as you go into Rajoguna, these shapes are getting hammered into our mind. All these desires, they are getting hammered, they are getting deepened, they are getting stronger. They can only be detached, can only fall off. All these things which are sticking to you can only fall off in Sattvaguna. So here, the five gross elements, then there are five subtle elements we spoke about. And he says, these are all qualified Brahman. The mixing element, which is known as time, is counted as the 25th element. So Krishna also has a mixing element. Nothing works without the influence of time. We are sitting here. It's about 5 a.m. for me in the morning here. And so we passed through half an hour of trying to understand creation. We're sitting here, we are passing through time. So this time is the mixing element. So he says, my dear mother, in that previous verse he explains, the influence of Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to false ego of the deluded soul which has contacted material nature. What does it mean? Because the false ego of the deluded soul has contacted material nature, he is fearful of death. So how should we reverse this fear of death? So we should disengage with the material nature. We should be detached. Now how can we be detached? Only when we become... So there are five states of the mind. So only when we become transcendental. So the five states of the mind in the scriptures, they are called Kshipta, Vikshipta, Moodha, Ekagra, Niruddha. Kshipta means scattered. So scattered. This is our natural state of all this disturbance. But anyway, Vikshipta, sometimes scattered. Many a times we are concentrated, like devotees when we chant, when we do kirtan, when we eat prasadam with devotees, at least during eating prasadam we are very concentrated. But otherwise, at least when we are with devotees, we are trying to hear Bhagavatam, when we are trying to chant. So we try to concentrate. So sometimes we are concentrated, but other times we are scattered. Kshipta, vikshipta. The third is moodha, stupid. So we think this movie, every movie has a nice trailer. We think, oh, we got to watch this movie, it is so nice. And then you get hooked on and then you watch the movie. Then, oh, I enjoyed it. So it all depends on the guna you are in. How much you enjoyed it. Then comes fourth state of mind. So the moodha is stupid. Just like young man getting attracted to a young woman. Like, it's complete stupidity. You know, there is no thought beyond the body because that's the nature. You know, Rajoguna is predominant and everything looks beautiful. So, but Srila Prabhupada says, like a female donkey hits the male donkey, still he comes back. So that is mainly because of stupidity. That's why the donkey is called stupid. So that's the state of mind. So then comes Ekagra. Ekagra is concentrated state of mind. Ekagra. So when the levels of concentration are very high and they are continuous. So in Vikshipta it's sometimes concentrated, sometimes it's not. In Ekagra it's concentrated. But then the highest state of mind in Shuddha Sattva, so this is in Sattva, Ekagra, concentrated. So there is a little bit of mix of Rajo and Tamo also. But when it's in the pure state of mind, it is Niruddha. Niruddha means it is transcendental. So Srila Prabhupada explains very beautifully that when the mind becomes pure Sattva Guna, then he is attached to Paramatma, then he is able to take higher dictation. Jitatmanah prashantasya paramatma samahitaha. So to understand this principle of creation is so important because we understand where are we missing. Why did I make that mistake? That is why Srila Prabhupada advocated, wake up early. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself shaved-headed. You know, all these different things. So now he says, my dear mother, the time factor, as I have explained, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom the creation begins as a result of the agitation of the neutral, unmanifested nature. So who is the Lord of creation? He is Brahma. And what is Brahma endowed with? Which guna is he endowed with? Is agitation, is rajoguna. So if we are in rajoguna, we are in the continuous stage of creation. We are rajoguna. We are expanding the material creation. We are expanding our desires. Rajoguna. Only when you come to sattvaguna, if you look back at in life and where we could have changed ourselves, the only thing you could have changed yourself is bring yourself to the mode of knowledge. Knowledge is what kills all attachment. So knowledge is only experienced, the state of knowledge is only experienced when we are in sattva guna. This guna is very important because it is representing Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu is pure goodness. He is in charge of mode of goodness. So everything that the way you eat, the way you sleep, the way you, and it's not just one day, but you practice yoga, you practice deeper meditation, bring your body and mind to the state of sattva guna, you will realize the higher truth. So by exhibiting his potencies, the Supreme Personality of Godhead adjusts all these elements, keeping himself as the super soul and without as time. Remember this. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead adjusts all these different elements, keeping himself within as super soul and without as time. So within these elements, in every, the heart of the element, now remember, he is the heart of the creation. He is the heart of the atom. He is the heart of the jiva. Paramatma is the suhrada. He is the heart of the jiva, heart of the atom, heart of the creation. He is the heart. He is the sweetheart of the jiva. So he says, jiva, the heart. So he says he keeps himself within as Paramatma, not just to be there, but he is the ever well-wisher. Prabhupada said, right? The jiva, the Paramatma is the guru within. So Prabhupada is in your heart, right? So who is that? That's Paramatma, is the ever well-wisher. He manifests as a compassionate Supreme Personality of Godhead. So within your heart, he is Paramatma. And without his manifest, so if you look at the nature of Prabhupada, the compassionate spiritual master, the Lord is also a compassionate friend. You are ever well-wisher, your best friend. But we are disconnected. We are not aware. So Krishna consciousness, Brahmeti, be conscious of the soul, Paramatmeti, be conscious of Paramatma, Bhagavan, then we become aware of Krishna. Just like Bhishma Deva in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he becomes aware within of the Supreme Lord. Gradually, this Lord takes the shape of his Ishta Deva. First you have to be aware of your Deva within your heart, your ever well-wisher. Then he connects you to your true nature. So now it gets interesting. After the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so now there is Pradhana, which is aggregate of everything. Prakriti is the manifest stage. So this in this pradana, the Supreme Lord enters within a super soul and externally as a time mixer grinder. So he is mixing with time. So time is external factor. So internal factor is Supreme Soul. So if you are getting connected with Paramatma within you, you go beyond time. But if you are disconnected from Paramatma, you are affected by time. Very interesting. Then he says, after the Supreme Personality of Godhead impregnates material nature with his internal potency, material nature delivers the sum total of cosmic intelligence, which is known as Hiranmaya. This takes place in the material nature when she is agitated by the destination of the conditioned souls. So what is the first thing? Hiranmaya. So the first combination, the first word that we have to understand, this combination delivers the sum total of cosmic intelligence. It took me, I was really trying to bang my head and find out what is this cosmic intelligence. I was praying to Krishna, what is this cosmic intelligence? Universal intelligence. Finally it realized, finally I got that point. It's very, it's so beautiful. So cosmic and so we talk about super soul in who is present in everybody's hearts. Super soul is present in everybody's hearts. So he connects every living entity. To connect to him, he is the cosmic intelligence. This sum total, this mixture is called cosmic intelligence. Hiranmaya, the golden egg. So this gold, who is that gold? The Jiva and Paramatma, this combo. So he is the intelligence. So Srila Prabhupada explains we have two types of intelligence. So what is that? So one intelligence will be manifest later. We will see. One intelligence, if we have time today, I will cover. Otherwise, I will finish it tomorrow. So this one material intelligence is the manifestation because of Rajoguna. But the spiritual intelligence is to connect to. So there are two ways you connect to spiritual intelligence. Number one, we study the scriptures. Shastra is also the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are directly following the instructions of the Paramatma by following the scriptures, by following spiritual intelligence. And the second, directly following the dictation of Paramatma, directly following dictation of Guru, that is also spiritual intelligence. To follow scripture, to follow dictation of Guru, to follow directly dictation of Paramatma. Cosmic intelligence, Hiranmaya. Because then the material intelligence, our material intelligence is how to enjoy this world. If somebody does something to you, some tit, then you do a tat, reaction. That is material intelligence. Spiritual intelligence. So cosmic intelligence, which this takes place in material nature when she is agitated by the destination of conditioned souls. Thus, after manifesting variegatedness, the effulgent Mahatattva, which contains all the universes within itself, which is the root of all cosmic manifestations, and which is not destroyed at the time of inhalation, swallows the darkness that covered the effulgence at the time of dissolution. So what does it say? That the effulgent Mahatattva, which contains all the universes within itself, which is the root of all cosmic manifestations. So this impregnated, because the manifestation is yet to begin, but this impregnated mix, and here the word used, the technical word used is Mahatattva. So this impregnated mixture, which is called Mahatattva, which contains all the universes within itself, It's not yet manifest, which is the root of all cosmic manifestation. So from this Hiranmaya, so the initial, the sum total of cosmic manifestations is known as Hiranmaya. Now this mix is known as Mahatattva, which contains all the universes within itself. And this is not destroyed at the time of annihilation. So, now the first step. So, from this Mahatattva, so Hiranmaya is the cosmic intelligence, and then this mix is called as Mahatattva. From this Mahatattva comes the mode of pure goodness. The mode of goodness, which is clear. You read the verse 21, it says the mode of goodness, which is the clear, sober status of understanding the personality of Godhead, and which is generally called Vasudeva or consciousness, becomes manifest in Mahatattva. So from this point, in the Mahatattva comes mode of goodness. So this verse is the central verse. The mode of goodness, let's read it again, which is the clear, sober status of understanding the personality of Godhead, and which is generally called Vasudeva or consciousness, becomes manifest in the Mahatattva. So remember this, because then from this Mahatattva, there manifests, later on, there manifests ego, ahankara. Now in this ahankara, what is called, it has the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. From then on it's easy, if you look at that picture. From here on, from the sattva guna, manifests the mind. From rajo guna, manifests the material intelligence and manifests the senses of action and senses of acquiring knowledge. And when this ego is transformed in tamo guna, then manifests all the elements. So basically the central theme of this creation is the mode of goodness. If you read this verse, the mode of goodness, which is, Prabhupada's translations are amazing. The mode of goodness, which is the clear, sober status of understanding the personality of Godhead, and which is generally called Vasudeva or consciousness, becomes manifest in the Mahatattva. So, the next verse is even interesting. He says, after manifestation of Mahatattva, these features appear simultaneously. As water in its pure state before coming in contact with the earth is clear, sweet and unruffled, so the characteristic traits of a pure consciousness are complete serenity, clarity and freedom from distraction. So what are the characteristics of pure consciousness, pure sattva guna? Complete serenity, clarity, freedom from distraction. Shuddha Sattva, the central theme of this creation, because the mind is created. I was bewildered when I read years ago, when I started reading Bhagavatam years ago, then it says from this ego, in the mode of goodness, the mind is created. Mind is the most disturbed thing that we are experiencing in our life, and it is created from the mode of goodness? Yes. Because when the mind is purified, the mind in the mode of Rajoguna and Tamoguna is a liability. It is your enemy. But the same mind in the mode of goodness is your best friend. That is it. That is the clear understanding here, that the mind in the mode of Rajo and Tamoguna becomes the enemy, in the mode of Sattva Guna becomes the friend. In this mode of Shuddha Sattva, this mind becomes a transparent medium. So right now, the soul, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the soul is experiencing itself through the dirty mind. And when this mind is purified, it experiences the pure self. Because there is nothing dirty in the mind to reflect. It reflects the true self. It becomes the transparent medium. The soul is able to see the world. See, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. When we look at something in the mode of Rajoguna, we look at everything in the mode of Rajoguna. But when we are transcendental and we look at the world transcendentally, everything appears transcendental to the platform. We are transcendental. So the mind becomes a pure medium for the Atma to experience the Self. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Na Shochati Na Kankshati Samasarvesu Bhutesu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. He experiences Brahmananda. So we see Vasudeva. The beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya, the state of pure goodness. So, from this Mahatattva, pure goodness is created, and from this comes Ahankara. So that is another manifest energy of the Supreme Lord. So this body is a manifestation of Ahankara. The body, mind, material intelligence, everything is a manifestation of false ego. The more and more this ego is connected to material nature, you will experience deeper and deeper material suffering. The more and more we withdraw. So the process of samadhi, the process of a yogi, the process of a devotee is to withdraw from this nature by withdrawing from the fundamental energies of Rajo and Tamo Guna should be withdrawn. Only when we come to Sattva Guna, the withdrawal process is faster. So the goal of a devotee is to always be situated in the mode of goodness. Is to be situated in the mode of Sattva Guna. So it's already 1 hour today. So we will do the rest tomorrow. I wanted to explain more, but I will keep for the second part of the creation and the process of withdrawal as in yoga and as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This will be the topic for tomorrow. And I'm very inspired by this topic. That's why I propose. It's a very deep and a very beautiful topic, but this is a very fundamental topic because the mode of pure goodness, until we understand what it really means, this fundamental nature means, we can talk all about Krishna, but until and unless we experience, because although we say there is Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana and Shabda Pramana, right? So Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana and Shabda Pramana. So for a yogi, as for devotees, we say Pratyaksha Pramana, we cannot understand Krishna. Anumana Pramana, we cannot understand Krishna. And only in Shabda Pramana, we can understand. But eventually, your faith, your degree of faith depends on Pratyaksha. It is said, only when you apply the principles that you have studied, only when you experience mode of goodness and you have a direct perception of the self, that is when your faith is strengthened. So ultimately it is Pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means I have to experience. Rupa Goswami says that sometimes if you do not understand the fundamental, all your life we can beat around the bush without coming to Shuddha Sattva, and we are confused where we are going wrong, where we are losing way. Or after many years, we are still at the same point, or we are not able to come to a point where we are transcendental and able to influence people on that transcendental platform, because we have to maintain the mode of pure goodness. So when the fundamental becomes strong, you are the building that you build, also the devotional service, the creeper, it is stable, stronger and lasts longer. So we have to apply this fundamental, then the result will automatically come. The moment we clean ourselves of Rajo Tamo Guna, the process of withdrawal has already started. It's an automatic thing. So Sattva Guna, so anything that is required for us, so the way we eat, so that's why the first thing we decided, we will write a book on food for the soul. So this book, we sold half of our copies. We are so happy. So the next book that I'm writing is on the mind, the sattva guna, how sattva guna strengthens the mind, you know, and how all the different practices of karma, jnana, dhyana, all these yoga, and ultimately our bhakti. That is why Srila Prabhupada spoke about varnashrama dharma, to come to the mode of goodness, because that is maintenance. Because once we acquire the seed of bhakti, we have to maintain the purity that we have attained, and so that we can get to the goal. Hare Krishna. So I will stop here. So any questions or comments are welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. But I too am really fascinated by this subject, and I actually have a few questions for you.
Okay.
Just for clarification. I don't know where to start, but I'll start with this. The concept of cosmic intelligence. It sounded like it was practically synonymous with super soul. Is that true?
Yes, exactly. If the word is cosmic intelligence, but what is cosmic? There is only three ingredients. So the three ingredients, soul, supreme soul, and the unmanifested material nature. These are the only three things. And externally there is time. So who is intelligence? So the one who knows everything is intelligence. One who knows everything. The soul is bewildered. The soul is like, he is impregnant. He is impregnated stage. He is unconscious. So where is the intelligence? So the only intelligence there is the super soul, basically. So when you withdraw, when you come to the mode of pure goodness, you experience direct dictation from cosmic intelligence, that is from Paramatma.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And then also, would you also say that Mahatattva is synonymous with Prakriti, which is the when the modes are differentiated. So when the modes are differentiated, we call that Prakriti, you know, because they become manifest. So is that state synonymous with Mahatattva?
Mahatattva is one stage. Prakriti is the entire manifestation. So Mahatattva is that stage where, that is why there in Mahatattva, the mode of goodness is manifest from the combination. And
okay. Mm-hmm.
From Mahatattva, the next thing, which I will explain tomorrow, comes the Ahankara. So that is a continuation. So this whole creation, this whole manifestation is Prakriti. Mahatattva is one stage where of manifestation.
Okay, so when you say that at the Mahatattva stage,
mm-hmm.
the mode of goodness is manifest, at that stage, what is the status of the other two modes?
So let me read it out to you. So here, if we see, the mode of goodness, which is the clear, sober status of understanding personality of Godhead, and which is generally called Vasudeva, or consciousness, becomes manifest. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, the Vasudeva manifestation is called pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva. In this Shuddha status, Shuddha Sattva status, there is no infringement of other qualities, namely passion and ignorance. So the others have not yet manifested. The Vasudeva stage is free from, this is directly from Prabhupada's purpose, is free from infringement by material desires, and is the status in which one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the objective, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Adbhuta. This is another feature of Mahatattva. The Vasudeva expansion is also called Krishna consciousness, for it is free from all tinges of material passion and ignorance. This clear state of understanding helps one to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vasudeva status is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita as Kshetrajna, which refers to the knower of the field of activities as well as super knower. So in this way, if you see, in order to be situated in clear consciousness or Krishna consciousness, one must worship Vasudeva. Vasudeva is Krishna alone. So when Krishna or Vishnu is alone without the accompaniment of his internal energy, he is Vasudeva. Anyway, it goes a long way. If one has to get released from false ego, one has to worship Sankarsana. But if you can see the first sentence, Srila Prabhupada mentions very clearly, the Vasudeva stage is free from infringement of material desires. This status, there is no infringement of other qualities. So their qualities are not yet manifested.
Okay, but yet we also hear that, because another point of confusion is that, you know, my understanding is that there is an utter difference between the material mode of goodness and Shuddha Sattva, which is transcendental or pure goodness. And also...
Yes, you had asked this question. And as I did this research, especially in this study, and from what I have studied in all the different yogic scriptures, so basically Shuddha Sattva means, see, basically the three gunas, so Krishna explains, so what you had actually told the other day was correct. Krishna explains all the modes are fighting for dominance. Shuddha Sattva says, Sattva, even if it's 99% and there is 1% Rajo and Tamaguna, it is not Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva means clear 100% only Sattva Guna.
Only. Yeah, it's even a different substance altogether from material. No. You know, you see, this point, every time I hear from a different person, I hear conflicting things. Because one person will say that there is the transcendental mode of, or not, I shouldn't say mode, the transcendental goodness, which is pure goodness, is of a completely different category from the material goodness of this world. They're two different substances, which is why one is called transcendental. Transcendental means not of material modes. And the other one, which is the material mode of goodness, that's of the material nature, and that one is always, even if it's to some minimal degree, is always contaminated with the ignorance and the passion.
You had so this question last time. Mm-hmm. I that's why I did more research. And, okay, at the transcendental level, there is no, when you go beyond material nature, there is no, before the material creation, there is no existence of sattva or shuddha sattva. They are not needed. The soul and the supreme soul are cognizant, are fully aware in their transcendental position. It is full of, it is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. It doesn't need any nature. But when it becomes wrapped, when it becomes wrapped in material nature, the soul gets covered. The soul gets covered by the three modes. And the only, and as long as the body is there, as long as the body and mind are there, and as long as they are influenced by the modes of Rajo and Tamoguna, there is no 100% realization of Krishna. If you read the purports very clearly, there is, and all the purports, actually, to tell you frankly, I was expecting this question, so I did a lot of research, not just Bhagavatam, but even this same expansion is explained in Patanjali Yoga Sutras. It is the fundamental to all practices of yoga. And in Hatha Yoga Pradipika also, there is this explanation where he explains that when this completely this Rajo and Tamoguna are purified, when one hears Nada, so he explains Nada. Nada means when the chakras, each one has a beautiful sound. So when the Pavana, the Vayu rises to the Sushumna Nadi, he says when it raises and the mind is completely merged in these internal sounds. The last one is that of a, believe it or not, it's the sound of Kartals. You know, Kartals sound. So he says he goes beyond Rajo and Tamoguna. And he is able to experience, believe it or not, in the verse he says, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. He experiences the lotus feet of Vishnu. So here, there, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains about Tada Rajastamo Bhavaha. Even Srila Prabhupada explains that when, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that when Rajas and Tamas are nullified, Tada Rajastamo Bhavaha. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself it says, but it never speaks about even this goodness goes away. No, when this goodness becomes pure, that is all they talk about. When it is pure goodness, when there is no tinge, there is a, let me try to find that. So when I found that verse. One second. Here it says, Prabhupada used to explain these verses, and Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava.
My problem is that you seem to be defining Shuddha Sattva as the absence of material modes of passion and ignorance. But my understanding is that that is not Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva is of a totally different category. It's not merely the absence of ignorance and passion. It's a completely different substance than the mode of goodness that we find in this world, which is necessarily always tinged with some degree of passion and ignorance. It's of a totally different category, which is why it's called transcendental goodness. It's of the original nature of the soul, which is manifest only by Krishna's mercy.
Let me read Prabhupada's translation. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from modes of passion and ignorance, and thus lusts and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate becomes steady in his position of pure goodness.
Yes, not pure goodness here, he's not saying...
No. See, now listen. Now you are trying to interpret saying this goodness is something different from... why doesn't he mention that? Now look at it logically. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from modes of passion and ignorance. He doesn't talk about becoming free from material mode of goodness. When it becomes free from modes of passion and ignorance, what remains is pure goodness. And that's what is mentioned immediately after.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but...
let's look at it logically from two points, even if we are talking about an understanding. On the transcendental platform, in the pure platform, we do not need any mode to understand, because the soul is self-cognizant. When there are only three modes that exist, sattva, rajas, tamoguna. And very clearly, here it explains that the pure goodness that is there, that is absence of Rajo and Tamo. Prabhupada never explains that he goes beyond this goodness. But when this goodness itself is purified, and even in this explanation, even if you read Mahatattva, manifests pure goodness which is untinged by passion and ignorance. When there is a slight, even a slight tinge of passion and ignorance,
That is when it becomes mixed. Pure means which is unmixed. So here, if you read the translation itself, the only mention of goodness, when it is absence of modes of passion and ignorance, the material lust and avarice are diminished. And he becomes steady in the position of pure goodness. You know? So, material goodness means what a generally even a Brahmana. So Brahmana means he has not reached stage of pure devotion. He is still doing karma kanda.
Oh, so
in karma
somebody needs to mute their phone. Oh my God.
So there is a certain portion of karma kanda where there is a mixture of rajo and tamo guna. But for a devotee, there is no mixture of rajo and tamo guna. So this mixture of rajo and tamo guna is completely zero. So when we talk about sattva, that he goes beyond, that means when you talk about Brahmana, if I am 70% sattva guna and I am 15% rajo guna and 15% tamo guna, it is still, he is still happy. And he says when sattva guna becomes dominant, the conditioning of a Brahmana is that he becomes happy even in that situation because he is experiencing 70% peace. But for a devotee, when this even this 30% is gone and is situated only in pure goodness without a tinge of material desire, you know, which is very rare, that is what is called pure goodness. You know, so that is why here there is mention, if you, you know, clearly read, there is only mention of rajo and tamo guna, and when they are completely nullified, what remains is shuddha sattva, pure goodness.
Yes, and that
if this goodness becomes slightly, even 0.1%, there is rajo and tamo guna, 0.1. It may not be manifest, but that is not pure goodness. But it doesn't make it a different substance. It is the same thing purified. That's all.
Okay, I will have to find the reference to substantiate my claim.
Okay, yeah. I mean, this translation itself explains. And
But I mean, you know, that's one translation. And, you know, Papa wrote so many things, and, you know, there's so many scriptures that, you know, by itself, that translation by itself, if you just look at it by itself, it looks like as you explained. But in the context of the larger scriptures, I think the understanding is there. Anyway, you know, that translation does not reconcile the fact that... Prabhupada also says that you will never find goodness without the accompaniment, material goodness without the accompaniment to some degree of ignorance and passion. And the fact that there is a transcendental goodness explains that claim.
Okay, this is the difference. Now, this is the difference. See, you are trying to use the word transcendental goodness, which Prabhupada never used. Prabhupada uses pure goodness. So pure goodness itself explains it is free from rajo and tamoguna, whereas there is nothing called transcendental goodness. Because transcendental means there is no need of goodness. Transcendental is transcendental. There is no tinge of any goodness. So transcendental goodness is beyond this goodness. So
are you familiar with the statement by Prabhupada where he says that none of the modes can ever be found to be unaccompanied by the other two modes, including goodness. Goodness will never be found independent of either rajas or tamas. Are you familiar with that statement?
See, then why does he use the word pure goodness?
Because it's a different kind of goodness. It's a different category.
Okay, that's what you are saying. That is the only difference here.
No, I have to find the scriptural evidence.
Definitely. I'll also try to substantiate with other places. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I have not just focused on the Bhagavatam, but if I read all the other, and even when you read this even in this chapter where all this creation is clearly explained, if you read it very deeply, then we can understand that this sattva guna, you know, like when this is pure sattva guna, unmixed state, and when it becomes slightly mixed, that is when all the other manifestation occurs. And especially last time you had asked this question, it really struck me. That's why I read it like literally about 12 times, you know, before coming to any conclusion, because I knew you would ask this question. You know, it was.
I don't even remember asking the question.
Mm-hmm. But actually, it's a very important question, and that I really appreciate. You know, you really. Going very deep and explaining this point, and it actually this makes a lot of difference. Even if it is, but we understand that to be completely free from the modes of passion and ignorance is very very important. And Srila Prabhupada explains very clearly here that the symptoms of passion and ignorance are lust and hankering, and when they are gone. You know, when they are gone, he is situated mm-hmm. in pure goodness. You know, that's what he explains there. I'll try to find more to substantiate, but as far as my understanding goes, it's very clear that pure mm-hmm. goodness.
There was just one quick thing. I know I've been talking a long time. Just one quick clarification I needed also was about Rajaguna.
I think it was a very amazing discussion, and I really thank you.
Yeah, well, I thank you for being patient with me also. Thank you very much. You mentioned when you were talking about Rajaguna, the way you were defining it, I just needed to get a better understanding. You were saying that, yes, there's desires, but you're saying something like about the increase of material nature or expansion when one is under...
Uh-huh. The nature of Rajoguna, for example, I'll give an example. When I was living in Bangalore many years back, so I just got married and we were looking for, well, let's buy a house, you know, that's what you do after marriage. So I went to a place and there was this plain hill and they were trying to sell plots there. And I was surprised that I said, where is the water coming from? Because I always imagined we will live, you know, by the riverside like Ganga or Mayapur or, you know, live very simple life, you know, practicing devotion. But this guy said, no, there will be a water tank there. This will come. We will cut that trees. We will bring this through this mountain. We will bring these pipes and water will come. So Rajoguna means a very strong desire for material enjoyment. And in that, what happens is you try to manipulate nature for your expansions. So that is the nature of Rajoguna. So unlimited desires, and we try to, just like they say, limited material resources but unlimited desires. So within this given situation, like people are trying to maximize, you know, their phones, cars, how we can best utilize. This is extreme Rajoguna, where we know even if we use them extremely effectively, our phones, this, that, no matter what we do, we cannot be happy. So Rajoguna means a situation where your desires will never stop, no matter how much you satisfy them. No matter how much you manipulate, no matter how much you get, there is never an end to that. So it's a perpetual cycle. So that's what Srila Prabhupada says. Lust means even if you satisfy, the desire never ends. So it's a literally by handing ourselves to Rajo and Tamoguna, we are getting into a perpetual no comeback cycle. You are just stuck of a cycle of mm-hmm. do something, achieve something, and still remain unhappy.
Yeah, this I've understood before. I think it was just when you used the term increase in increase of material.
Perception. Increase of material perception. See, the thing is, for example, if I would say, like Prabhupada, when he saw old men playing golf, and Prabhupada was having tears in his eyes, and he was so compassionate, he was thinking in terms of the soul, and Prabhupada was saying, why are they wasting time? At this old age, now death will come, and he's seeing that the death will come and take them away. But when you are in Rajoguna, this whole thing is a reality. You think, I have to spend 2 hours with golf, and you do not seem to have the necessary perception of the soul, where you need to take urgent action on your life based on the necessity of the soul. But the reality of playing golf or enjoying material nature, because the nature in Rajoguna, so it makes, so same thing when you look, when you are angry, anything in the house you want to throw, even if it is the most valuable thing, you will throw it because of anger. There is madness. So everything appears invaluable. So it depends on the state of mind. So same thing when we are sober, even the thing we want to throw, we want to think twice. How can I use it or recycle it or something? But in the mode of anger. So similarly, when we are heavy with Rajoguna, everything in this material world, the reality appears in terms of Rajoguna, dragging us deeper, you know, thinking all this has all this kind of material utility. In one sense, practically they are not. They are simply entangling us more and more, but we do not see, just like Rupa Goswami says, the time factor is coming up as snake, but our vision is so fixed. So this Rajoguna makes your vision so attached and deeper into Rajoguna, to this material world, so deep that even when the time, the snake is right next to you to bite you and kill you, you know, you are still unaware. You are trying to, with the limited time, just like somebody is about to die, Prabhupada says, a Japanese millionaire, and he's telling the doctor, can you give me 1 hour more, 1 day more to live? I will give you half my wealth. He's thinking in terms of that, you know. So he's trying to do the best out of his attachment. So material nature pushes you deeper, in the, like Prabhupada says, you know, deeper in material consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I did have one more question, but I feel like I should really give somebody else a chance. So. If there's more time later, then I'll ask. But thank you very, very much for hanging in there with me. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And thanks for the very good discussion, actually. It was a very relevant discussion, very interesting topic. Thank you so much. And it was actually quite a heavy subject because it was this particular chapter from Canto 3, which was never clearly understood, at least by me. I have never really understood the intricacies of it. So thanks for delving on the subject matter so deeply. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was actually a lot that I learned today. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very nicely detailed description here, explanation here given. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
So, Will, can I ask? I mean, it sounds like I don't think anybody is asking. Can I ask one last, or do you need to go?
No. I have time.
It was just about. You remember when you were, saying, because I also had the same experience about when I heard that the mind is made of the mode of goodness. You know, immediately what comes to mind is how troublesome the mind is, and we're full of so many rajasic and tamasic, desires. And so, one explanation that I heard, if you could give me your feedback, is that to reconcile this dilemma is that, yes, the mind is made of the mode of goodness, or, so other things that they may be made of other modes, like sense objects are made of the mode of ignorance, but there's a difference between what different things are made of and the impact that it has on our consciousness. So, for example, just as, a microphone is a sense object, so it's made out of the mode of ignorance, but if you use it in Krishna's service, the impact can be in the mode of goodness, even though the object itself is made out of the mode of ignorance. So similarly, the mind, although it is composed of the mode of goodness, the impact of it can be rajasic or tamasic, depending upon, how it's used or the thoughts that, we have within it. Can you comment on that?
Exactly. You see, just like the mirror. The mind, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example of the mirror. So the mirror, when pure, shining, it reflects the person perfectly. So in its natural state, in the mode of goodness, it reflects the soul, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. So that is the state in which the mind is completely purified from all samskara. So even in the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, he explains two types of samadhi. This I will discuss tomorrow. He speaks about sabija and nirbija samadhi. So sabija means our latent impressions are there, but they are not so prominent. So for example, if I am going through a trauma, I met one lady, for example, and 3 years later, her husband had died 3 years back, but every time she spoke, she used to break down in tears, and so it's really sad, but what to do? So that is, this thing dominates the mind. So this desire, this samskara is dominating the mind. So until and unless this samskara is purified, until and unless this seed is removed, until and unless this experience is purified by the process of purification, so similarly, the mind, cheto darpana marjanam, when the mind is the mirror of the heart, so heart is the center of the physical body where blood is flowing. Heart is the center where the prana is originating. Heart is where our mind is residing. Within the mind, within the bubble of the subtle body, is where the soul and super soul are residing. So this heart, this mind, as long as it is impure, it will reflect that impurity. So that is when it loses its real nature. So like the mirror losing its real nature, so the mind, as long as it's impure, it will reflect that impurity. But the moment the mind becomes purified, so that is why we always talk about purification of the mind. So when the mind is purified, it reflects the true self, its real nature. and mind is only a reflector. So when the mind is purified, it reflects the soul. So the mind becomes a sober, transparent medium to reflect the soul. So basically, Rajoguna in general impelled. So that is why material intelligence is impelled by Rajoguna. So that is why when this material intelligence impels you to either experiment, enjoy, or manipulate material nature, the mind falls in its trap. So that is why they say one should definitely overcome Rajo and Tamoguna.
Okay, so let me see if I understand properly. So just as, you know, a mirror, whether a mirror has dust on it or not, is always a mirror. Right? I mean, the substance of the mirror, that doesn't change. So similarly, the mind, it is always, is it that it is always comprised of the mode of goodness?
Yes.
Even when a person may be having rajasic thoughts or, you know, tamasic thoughts, still, the mind is still composed of, the fact that it's composed of the mode of goodness, that doesn't change just because the soul is I guess just because that they are.
Exactly. See, that is why they say, that is why the first half of Yoga Sutras is all about concentration of the mind. How to gain control over the concentration of the mind. Because there are three things required in life for success. Concentration of mind, persistent effort, grace of God. Concentration of the mind is first. The very important thing is, once you gain concentration of the mind, Patanjali says this, Ashtanga Yoga, pure food, this, that, concentrate your mind. Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha. And once you concentrate the mind, the next thing he does is concentrate, then he says withdraw from outside and concentrate on the soul, concentrate on Ishvara, the Supreme. Very interesting, because if the mind concentrates, so for example he says, if you concentrate on the sun, Surya Deva, if you do Samadhi, if you do Sanyama, concentration, meditation on the sun, you will get knowledge of astrology. If you concentrate on the moon, you will get knowledge of all the stars. If you meditate on your own mind and you are able to see your mind, then you will get knowledge of what everybody is thinking, everybody's minds. So he gives all these benefits of concentration. Again he says, but these are all material, concentrate on the soul. So basically the nature of the mind is it gains the benefit or gains the nature of what it concentrates upon. So if it concentrates on the body, dehatma buddhi, the pure mind also gets, you know, that nature. But when it reflects within on itself, because the nature of the mind, if you read the tomorrow we'll read the translation, is to reflect and desire. So what it reflects upon, it desires based on that. So dirty mirror is reflecting on the previous experiences, material nature, all these different things. So the mirror itself is pure. If the reflection, if the mind reflection reflects within itself, its nature, it doesn't lose its mode of goodness nature. You're absolutely right.
But even if it's reflecting, you know, dust, it's still, that its nature shouldn't change, right? Because it's...
Yeah. See, but the dust can stick to it, but deep within the mind is still clear. But the dust needs to be removed. Cheto darpana marja. So because of the mode of passion and ignorance is like the gum, you can say. They make it stick to the mind. But if you remove Rajo and Tamoguna, you know, by the process of yoga and devotion, the gum will go away and the mirror will become pure again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to meditate on that. Prabhu, can you just, that verse, when we were talking about the pure goodness versus, you know, the, can you just tell me the verse number?
I can do you right away. One second. I was actually reading. This is from, described in the second chapter of the first canto. Okay, one second. 1.2.17-21.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you so much for all your answers. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. There are no more questions, so I would like to thank all devotees for such enthusiastic participation. I think the discussion was very lively. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So wonderful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class. Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji? Okay, if there are no more questions or comments for Prabhuji, let us all offer obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa tarubhyasya
vipa
evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti vaishnavrind ki jai. Namachari Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. He is with Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. See you all.